Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these two passages. Thank you for making things clear to us, the things that are important to you, the things that you've done for us. Please help us to understand them and apply them in our lives now. Amen. We're back to basics today. I'm going to concentrate on the reading from Luke's Gospel, but I will say that the reading from Romans 5 is well worth having a look at when you get home. Just work through it slowly. There's some really, really good stuff in that about, well, loads of stuff. You read it again. Smashing stuff. But the Gospel passage is first in a section, in a series of three warnings by Jesus about pride and how pride can keep us from God. And it gives us stark warnings in those passages. So we might find ourselves rather concerned about what Jesus is saying. And it's always good to be concerned when Jesus gives warnings. But if we look at it carefully, we should also be filled with excitement and relief, I would suggest. And let's work through it. Now, I have to admit that Luke 18, 9 to 14 is my favourite parable. I'm not sure we should have favourite parables. As long as we listen to them all, perhaps it is okay. But this is one that fills me with hope. And you've probably heard me refer to it on occasions in the past. There are two people that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a rather pompous Pharisee and also about a bloke, the tax collector, who's rather down about himself. Whose side are you on? Is anyone on the side of the Pharisee? Didn't think so. No, good. No one likes pomposity, at least in other people. Now, Pharisees were an important and influential religious and political group in Jesus' time. There were about 6,000 of them, and they were spread around Israel. They weren't like the Sadducees who were sort of hung around the temple. The Pharisees were out and about. They were in the sort of the equivalent of the parishes of that time. And they were strict and zealous keepers of the law of the Old Testament and additional traditions that they'd added to it, which made it a bit difficult for other people. Jesus berates them on occasions, on a number of occasions, about making things difficult for people to enter the kingdom of God. But some of them were pretty genuine folk. Some of them were good guys, shall we say, because some of them, we know that they warned Jesus about some problems he would have. I think it was with the Herodians, I think. Should have checked that really before the sermon. But there was definitely some good ones around. But in general, they were legalistic. They weren't really the sort of people you'd invite to a party if you wanted a good time. They were not life and soul of the party. A good number of them, judging from what we read in the Gospels, were people who saw themselves as holier than other people. They thought that because they obeyed the law of Moses, at least in their view they were obeying the law of Moses, that they were right in God's eyes. If we look at the Pharisee's prayer, it'd be worth having a look at as I go through it. His prayer starts off well. He starts off, God, I thank you. That's a good start. That could even be a psalm. But straight away, then go rapidly downhill. He immediately turns into speaking about himself. He reminds God of the good stuff that he, the Pharisee, does. Stuff that's genuinely good if it's done with the right motive. He fasted twice a week. Anyone else fast twice a week? No. The law only required you to do it once. No. What a hero, I reckon. He gave a tenth of all he received. Now that is good. Can. Excellent. But look at his attitude. He sees himself as superior to other people. That's not what the gospel is about, thinking ourselves as superior. Because we're all sinners. You and I are sinners. Everyone here is a sinner, just to remind you. We're critically in need of God's grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. And what's even worse is that this religious bloke, someone who'd been trained up to be a religious leader, perhaps an LLM of the day, was fundamentally wrong. But who got it right? The tax collector, didn't he? He was one who was actually working directly or indirectly for the hated occupying power of the Romans. And being a tax collector was not a good career choice if you were at all interested in being honest. Because those blokes, they took more money off the population than the authorities asked for or required. The authorities would say, need so much off Janet Day, but the tax collector would add his own cut on top. But this bloke, this chap in the parable, knew his own nature. He knew what his own character was like. He knew that there was something fundamentally flawed with his character, something wrong. He knew what that meant for how God saw him. He knew he was a sinner standing before a holy God here in the temple. But what does Jesus say about this tax collector? He says some wonderful stuff, some brilliant stuff. It was not the pompous, proud Pharisee who was put right with God in this parable. It was not the bloke who could see that actually some of his actions were better than other people's, though his attitude was horrible. The man who had pride in himself. No, that was the tax collector. The one who saw his own lostness. Is that a word? Lostness? He saw his own, how bankrupt he was before God. And he threw himself on God's mercy. He was the one who was actually put right before God. Question. I don't know the answer to this. Did the tax collector know that he was forgiven? So I think Jesus leaves that ambiguous, leaves that vague. But it doesn't sound to me that the tax collector knew that God had forgiven. I would think Jesus left it that way on purpose. But Jesus does tell us that he actually was forgiven. He was forgiven by God. He was the one who went home accepted by God. He was the one who threw himself on God's mercy. He was the one who put his trust in God to forgive him. That's what faith is, true faith is. True faith, true Christian faith is not just believing God exists, because we know the devil believes that God exists. And James points that out in the second letter of his second chapter of his letter. Trust in God, faith in God means trusting him for our forgiveness. The Pharisees seemed to think that he thought he was good enough, but he wasn't. The tax collector was the one who knew that he was not able to satisfy God's requirements for holiness and threw himself on God's mercy. He didn't try to earn God's favor. Did he get God's favor? Yes, he did, Jesus tells us. And we know that this side of the cross, that was Jesus on the cross who did the earning for our forgiveness. What we need to do is throw ourselves on God's mercy. That's how God gets forgiveness into our lives. Our faith, our trust doesn't earn us anything. Just means that we accept freely. We accept what God has freely offered us. That's free for us to accept. Though that cost Jesus dearly on the cross, didn't it? Jesus told us this parable. So as far as we know, they weren't real characters, people that Jesus met. But if they had been, what do you think would have happened with the tax collector afterwards? Would he carry on being a tax collector? I don't know. But he would have changed the person as surely as night follows day, because that's how the gospel works. Forgiveness leads to a change in hearts, in motives. As Paul put it in his letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, and I quote, and it's worth working through this in a minute, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Paul reminds his Christian readers, Christian listeners, that it's by grace they've been saved. Hopefully you've heard this said before, but an easy way to remember what grace means, if you think of the letters G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. And the Ephesian Christians are not, and we too, if we accept it from God, are saved through their faith. Their faith didn't earn them anything, doesn't earn us anything. That's the route God uses to bring us back to himself. We need to put our trust in him and what Jesus did on the cross rather than keep trying to earn God's favour. Paul reminds them that it was not from themselves. It was God moving to put them and us, to have them put their trust and our trust in him. Our job basically is to not to resist the call on our life, but let him bring us back to himself. Paul reminds us that it's a gift of God. Again, there's something he gives us, not something earned. That's a gift. You can't earn gifts. If you earn something, that's wages or a salary, something like that. It's not a gift. Salvation is a gift. Paul says it's not by works. Again, we can't work for it. It doesn't come to us because we deserve it. And a special mention for Mr. Pharisee, so that no one can boast. Pharisees needed to remember that, so do we. But the point of it all, Paul tells us, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's the point. We're not just saved from sins, our sins. We're saved for a purpose, and that's to do the will of God, the one who loves us so much. And that's when we realise God's love for us, that we can get on with pleasing God, serving him in the way he wants. We're then free to please him once we know that God loves us and has saved us. As St. Augustine once said, God's service is perfect freedom. We serve God not because we need to earn his love, but because we have accepted that love that he offers us, and we want to please him. We serve him not to be forgiven, but because we have been forgiven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, that you have sought us out, that you sent Jesus into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, to give forgiveness to everyone who comes to you for it, accepting their sinfulness and need for your love, for your forgiveness. If we have been proud of what we do, if we have thought that we have earned something from you, then please put us right. But Lord, please, please, enable us to love you for all you've done for us and for who you are. Amen.